One. Welcome back to Hoops HD,
Whoop, whoop.
everybody. Griggs is excited.
Yes.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Got a pair of Davids with us. David Dormer to my side, David Griggs below us. This is our Under the Radar podcast, the podcast where we focus in on anything and everything that does not have to do with the power conferences. We do
Yes.
not talk about the ACC, the Big East, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC. They're Monday night.
Yeah, they're Monday night, along with the Mountain West, the American, the West Coast, and the A10.
They're Monday night also. In
Yeah.
addition, anybody that's in the top 25, we also do not consider to be under the radar. Loyola Chicago, congratulations to them, made the top 25 this week. While we've been talking about their conference, the Missouri Valley, when we get to them, we're going to just pretend that Loyola is simply not there.
Okay.
They just don't exist. They're not part of that conference. I think we lost Griggs. Oh, there he is.
No, I'm back. I got
Okay.
distracted. I got
All
distracted.
right. Okay. Anyhow, what we like to do is start off with a feature conference, and then we go through some other leagues and stuff. And I wanted to start tonight with a conference that we've not been our, we try to make certain we don't repeat feature conference. But I wanted to start off specifically about the conference that I chose for our feature conference is so because of what one team in specific has done since conference play started.
We don't know who this is yet. Only
This
Chad does.
team in non-conference play did pick up four non-D1 wins, including against our good friends at Carver Bible College. Other than that, the only other team they beat was number 351 Charleston Southern. Otherwise, they were besides that, they won lost all eight other non-conference games they played.
Just
Yet
Colonial.
despite that, they have gone sort of 3-0 in conference play with wins against two fairly good teams of this conference, both winning at North Florida and beating Florida Gulf Coast at home, also a win at Stetson. But Kennesaw State Owls in the ASUN, our feature conference, out to an amazing, almost unbelievable 3-0 start, only half a game behind Liberty. Dorman, I wrote off Kennesaw State about around November 15th, so
I was right with you. I was right with you. I can't believe they're off to a 3-0 start. And I saw them play the other day against, I believe it was Florida Gulf Coast. And they're playing good basketball. They're well coached. They're under control. They're taking good shots. And I can see why they're winning some of these games all of a sudden. And it's as crazy as it sounds, they're not terrible.
They're not terrible. This is a team that the 2 years ago, 2020, in the season where we lost the NCAA tournament, Griggs, this was our Centenary Award winner for the worst team in D1.
Yes, it was. You mentioned that what an abrupt turnaround it was in the middle of this year. It goes back at least 2 or 3 years. It's been so long since this team has been, I don't know if they've ever been good. It's been so long since they haven't been abysmally, atrociously bad.
Yeah,
And here they are off to a
six.
3-1 start.
Sorry, yeah, 5-19, 2-13, only 2 wins in conference last year, none the year before. So they've won more games in conference so far this year than they did the last 2 years combined. That's
Yes.
that just shows you what the job that Amir Abdur-Rahim, who's in his second, I guess he's in his third year there now, has done. He took over after the not so good years that the guy that used to be at Boston College had there.
Oh, I was going to say Jarvis, but I can't. Who was it?
I was going to say Abdul Rahim will be back at Cal any day now at this rate.
What? Oh my God, I'm blanking on his name.
Was it Skinner?
Yes, Al Skinner.
Al
Thank you.
Skinner. Yes. Okay, we're doing great here. We've got all the knowledge. I was hitting you with Kennesaw facts up until then. But yeah, no, yeah, Al Skinner, who was there for about 10 years and did not do anything, honestly.
And that's the thing. It's a live show on tape delay. Like, we can't edit it out.
No, we cannot. We're not going to actually. But Kennesaw now sitting here, half a game behind Liberty, in the East, in the much tougher East Division, with both Jacksonville and Gulf Coast in that division. Jacksonville State and Bellarmine both 4-0 in the West. Liberty has that half game lead though. They had a, Jacksonville was also 3-0 until last night, and Dorman, Liberty went. It was a home game, but Liberty played Jacksonville last night, and wow, what an ass kicking that was, 88-49.
Absolutely ran them out of the gym. Wasn't really close. The second half, they were up and cruising. I was very surprised by the final score. I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, that was one of the games I had circled last night on my calendar. There's like, oh, this is going to be a good one. I watched about 3 seconds of it, quite honestly. Griggs, what about the West Division there, though? Jacksonville State and Bellarmine are 4-0 as well.
Bellarmine still transitional, but still doing a really good job 4-0 in conference play. They did struggle out of conference largely because they played a lot of bye games. They played UCLA and Gonzaga, did not get either one of those.
Really?
We were
They didn't beat
disappointed in that.
Gonzaga, yeah.
Yeah, they did not beat Gonzaga.
Okay.
Talk about the hot seat. But Jacksonville State, new to the conference. Eastern Kentucky, also in this division. I thought they were going to be one of the favorites in this league, not having a good year this year at all.
They really aren't. Actually, North Florida's been a little disappointing also now that they're 0-4 with that Kennesaw loss. But let's say also wanted to, another reason I wanted to feature this conference is take a look ahead to tomorrow night. A pair of games involving this conference. First of all, North Florida non-conference game added in at Florida State. It's going to be a demolition if
Well,
Florida State just
Florida
beat you.
State, by the way, I know they're on
Might be
the radar
hungover.
going after their 14th consecutive overtime win, possibly tomorrow, if that game goes to overtime.
That will be a story if it happens. But the other game, Liberty is at Kennesaw tomorrow night. Liberty just played last night too. It's only a 1 day's rest. Could be a potential trap game here at Kennesaw.
Yeah, Kennesaw has been so bad for so long. You kind of wonder if there's students and alumni, and they are centrally located there in Atlanta. Like a lot of their students and alumni are in that area. Are they even aware that Kennesaw has a basketball team? I hope so, and I hope they come out tomorrow because what a potential showcase this is for them.
It really is.
David
This is
stole
a
my thunder. I was
Yeah.
hoping the Kennesaw State faithful and students show up because that's all of a sudden a big game at Kennesaw State. They
Yeah.
bring in Liberty, one of the usual suspects in the conference with Lipscomb that are always in the fight for the automatic bid. But Kennesaw State's got a chance all of a sudden. I'm with David. I hope the fans and the people in the community come out. That's a big game all of a sudden
Yeah, they
tomorrow.
got nice facilities there. They got a nice little arena there. I'm got that one circled.
Yeah, that's a big game tomorrow night. Also, though, look a little bit ahead to Monday night here. The other two undefeated teams in the West Division will be going head to head for the first time this season, assuming they can both get through their games this weekend. Jacksonville State does not exactly have an easy game with Gulf Coast coming in, but Bellarmine at Jacksonville State Monday also the second game we're circling in this conference. So it's going to be a real interesting week in the ASUN, I think.
Real quick, because I mean, it is the feature conference, we can spend just another minute or two on it. Liberty is leaving for Conference USA. They've been the flagship program in this league. What does this league look like without them?
Well, I'll tell you what this league
Basketball.
looks like here. If we just put a line right through Liberty there, we just kind of
Yeah.
cross them off. That's what this league looks like. I have not heard that they're adding anybody else specifically. Oh, wait, is Austin Peay coming over to the ASUN? Is that
Austin, yes.
okay? So should I believe that they may remain at 12, or there may be somebody else leaving here?
Yeah, there was
I'm
a
now blanking it.
desire.
There's so
Yeah.
much going on with realignment that I used to
Right.
know well them, and I honestly don't. But I know that they might be down to only 11 teams next year. They'll
Yeah.
probably go back to a single division format.
Yeah, and it, again, like Liberty, they've been as high as the 12 line, I think, or like 12 and 13 seeds. I don't know. It is a little bit of a loss for this league to lose Liberty.
I think it's a huge loss for the for this league to lose. To lose Liberty, if I could say that's been a tongue twister there, because this has been the flagship program now for a couple of years. But they had to know it was coming also because Liberty has been in football, has been FBS for a few years now.
Yeah, and they wanted, I think they wanted to be in an FBS football conference so badly that I think that they were willing to try and make the ASUN turn into one, which is why a lot of these teams transferred in or wanted to join was for football purposes, and now Liberty's leaving. So anyway, on the Conference USA, that'll be a fun league. Maybe we'll highlight that one someday.
Just to clarify the conference movement here, Austin Peay coming in, Liberty and Jack State both on their way out to conference after this season. So Jacksonville State, another team that is going to be leaving at some point here. I think it's actually scheduled for 2 years from now to Conference USA. In fact, both moves, I believe, are not next year. They're going to be the year after, but we'll, there's still a lot of up in the air as to the timing of some of these moves.
And the A-10's always an exciting conference tournament, always one of the first conference to give out a bid. And I see it coming up this year again in March. This will be a real fun, exciting tournament. Maybe Lipscomb turns it around. Eastern Kentucky, I was with David. I thought they'd have a good year. This could be really exciting come March.
A little change in the conference tournament. They actually pushed the championship game back a few days, so it will not be until, I think, Tuesday or so of championship.
It's not that Sunday anymore.
It's not the Sunday. But let's go through the rest of these conferences. There's 20 more to go to. If we go at this rate, we'll be about a 10-hour show. A little bit quicker, but let's jump alphabetical order. We'll jump back just one conference here to the America East, where Vermont, Dorman, very impressive, both winning at UMBC and tonight at NJIT.
They're not even messing around. They take teams in this conference and they just bust away early and they sit on the gas and they do not let teams back in it. That's why they are the best team in this conference year in and year out. This team, this version of the Catamounts is no different. They are the power team in the America East.
Yeah, and Greg, I don't think anyone even look at this conference. I mean, technically, conference standings, it's in the lost conference, a first place tie with Hartford, but they played one game so far and they beat New Hampshire at home. So
there's a little bit of a discrepancy there in the net between the two teams. It's Vermont's conference to win. The one thing I like about this league is that home court advantage is it's not predetermined in the conference tournament, so Vermont can get the whole thing on their court and you know, which they would have earned. They're also a team that if they do get the auto bid out of this league, that I think could really make somebody sweat in the round of 64.
Oh, I think this is a dangerous team with a shot. I mean, I don't know that they're going to lose another game, quite honestly. And if they don't, they could be a 13 seed, I think, here at the end of the day. They've got Hartford, battle of teams that are undefeated in conference play on Saturday, and a tough road trip though on Wednesday to Stony Brook. Stony Brook was a preseason pick by a lot of coaches to win this conference.
Yeah.
So
and still off to 3-1 start.
They did crush Stony Brook at home last week. Yeah. So let's not forget that. Let's jump over Dorman over to the Big Sky Conference, where we're seeing Weber State and Southern Utah finally starting to look like they're going to pull away from the rest of this conference.
It looks like it. Southern Utah is playing good ball at this point, but let's not count out Northern Colorado, because I did about a month or two ago, and all of a sudden they're 3-1 in conference. It'll be interesting to see if they can hold up against Southern Utah and Weber State. But as of right now, if you're asking me, I still like Weber State.
Yeah, I kind of do too. Did it kind of surprise you that they just did not wipe the floor with Idaho?
Yeah, it did. If you've got to have someone where you're going to be concerned with this conference, it is the fact that Weber State maybe hasn't been dominating. I think we'll know. Huge game actually coming up Monday night. Weber is going to be at Southern Utah.
That is a big one.
That'll be fun.
Northern Colorado, hasn't played the last week or so, they're going to be back on the court from what I'm reading here on the screen, at least beginning tomorrow night. Again, there are a few teams that are still being shut down. The number of shutdowns are way, way down after where it was 2 weeks ago and even last week. So hopefully the majority of these games will get in. I guess, Griggs, there's something else we got to talk about with that Monday night game, though. Weber State at Southern Utah. Not only is it for first place in the Big Sky.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a beehive game.
It's a beehive game as well. Yes. I mean, look at that. This game could be for the lead in not one, but in two conferences. Have we ever seen that before?
It's like two championship belts.
In fact, well, that's a great time. Why don't we just skip right ahead to the Beehive Conference now? Just kick it on those standings because we're talking about them. You know, the winner of that game will be tied with BYU we raised two losses. I'm sorry, but Southern Utah could tie for BYU with BYU for first place if they pick up the win there.
Yeah, I know, and it's a big deal. This league, this league does get an auto bid. Don't be surprised to see BYU.
All likelihood
gets an auto bid. Yeah.
Where are they playing that conference tournament, David?
In Utah.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. And not only do you possibly get an auto bid, you also get this.
Yes, you get the old Accord. Whatever the hell that thing is.
We sent Rocco on location to Utah. Yeah. He couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Yesterday we sent him down to Fresno. Not that we're really there, but he looked for it there. Apparently he's not even back yet for the show tonight because he's still looking for the bucket. We will find the bucket, though.
Oh, my God. That is tremendous. It's more desired than the Rimming Trophy.
We're really going slow tonight. Yeah, Griggs, really Big South Conference. There was a couple of real good games at this conference tonight, even before it came on the show. This conference has been really fun, actually, so far this season.
It normally is. I mean, this league's always sort of wild. It's not unusual to, in the middle of February, have eight teams separated by just two or three games. We've seen that happen before. A great storyline here is Longwood, who has no history whatsoever, yet they're off to kind of a 3-1 start. We said at the beginning of the year that we thought they were a team to keep an eye on. Upstate, who has just been atrociously bad and was no different this year, not quite as dramatic a turnaround as Kennesaw, but look at them at 4-1.
Almost. They only had one D1 win out of conference also. And then you throw in North Carolina A&T, who, you know, was, you know, decent maybe by MEAC standards, not even great. And they're off to a 4-1 start here. They won at Asheville tonight, and Asheville had looked so good just a week ago. This conference is going to be, six or seven losses may win this conference regular season title.
Yeah, it's a fun conference, and it's a fun conference tournament. It's always one of the better ones.
Always.
Yeah.
The upcoming schedule here. Let's see here. Longwood, they're going to be at Presbyterian, who is Presbyterian is going to be hosting Winthrop tomorrow, and then hosting Longwood. So tough. Presbyterian gets to host both undefeated teams the next two games. So congrats to Presby for that, I guess.
So
there's a good game. Sorry, Chip. There's a good game next Wednesday, Winthrop at USC Upstate. That will be for the South lead, and I look forward to that one. That should be a good game.
Well, and then same night, A&T at Longwood could be for the North Division lead. So next Wednesday night might be Big South night. Maybe it'll be our feature conference next week. Dorman, over the Big West Conference, Rockaway, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, but he started talking up this Cal State Fullerton team, and I'm starting to become a believer in them.
I hadn't seen him play until Rocco mentioned it, and then they were on the other night against Northridge, and I'm with them. They have a good team there. They're not exceptionally big, but they play tough. They're good defensively, and this conference is definitely theirs if they're going to keep playing good ball like that. Also, surprisingly, I did not think Hawaii was this good when I saw them in the non-conference, but they're pretty solid. They're going to give some teams a run for their money in this conference.
Yeah, I mean, Griggs, Irvine was a team that I was circling all season, and what Hawaii did to them out of the island last Thursday night in that late game just shocked me.
A lot of things have shocked me in this league. I thought the Eaters would be better. I know they've only played two conference games, and it's not easy to win at Hawaii, but all in all, like, their whole body of work has not been that good, and what in the hell has happened to the Gauchos? I mean, you talk about, like, Fullerton going out and beating them, and who
Long
would have
Beach,
thought that
Long
at this
Beach
point –
beating them. Long yeah. Beach beat them. I'm done with the Gauchos this season, I'll tell you that much.
Good God, talk about a plane that hit a mountain.
I'm still keeping my eye on this Riverside team. I do like this team a lot, though. They had two nice road wins this week, in fact.
This is odd for the Big West to be in this situation. I'm thinking 15 seed or maybe worse. I mean, this is just not a good league this year.
The metrics are not good.
I think I'm with you. Fullerton at Irvine coming up tomorrow night. Another huge game to circle here. If that game in Hawaii was a fluke for Irvine, they really need to win this game here.
Yes, they do.
Hawaii's got a trip to Bakersfield and Cal Poly. They need to sweep that trip as well. So over in the Colonial, a little news from the Colonial as just this week we found out that Monmouth, coming out of the Metro Atlantic, will be moving over to the Colonial next season. They're also in serious talks with both Hampton as well as Stony Brook to come over to the CAA. So, James Madison on the way out, but the conference could be up to 12 teams next season anyhow.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody is suddenly wanting to go to 12 teams, especially these under-the-radar leagues. I think 8 and 10 is the perfect number. Again, nothing against either one of those programs. It's just, why do you feel the need to go to 12?
If you go to 12, you lose the double round robin. I think 10 is the perfect number for a double round robin. The 8 team double round robin, you only have 14 games, and it becomes a little tougher non-conference scheduling.
It does, but it leaves did, it but. Leaves room for an in-season conference.
as far as on the court this week, William and Mary started coming back down to earth with a pair of home losses. But now suddenly, Dorman, UNC Wilmington suddenly sitting here at 3-0 out of nowhere. This was a team that was pretty awful the last few years. I had a few sparks, but a very impressive win at Charleston, I thought, on Monday night as well.
Impressive.
Real impressive. Yeah. Big win. Charleston was supposed to be good and be in the top part of this Colonial, but Wilmington took them to town the other night, playing good ball, the Seahawks. Team I wanted to bring up was Townsend. They went to Elon in one, and I'm not saying Elon's all the great, but Towson looks the part when you see him play basketball. I really like this team. I would be surprised if Townsend wasn't in at least the finals of this conference tournament come March.
I'm with him. Pat's scary. Really doing a good job.
I would say, as far as Towson, this conference tournament is notorious for upsets as well.
Yep.
So
always
Towson could win the regular season title, but doesn't matter. It may not matter at the end of the day. I would say we've got some very interesting games on for Saturday, though, in this league as well, including these two teams we're just discussing, Wilmington at Towson on Saturday. Also circle this Hofstra-Northeastern game. And Northeastern, though, Griggs, 0-6 in conference, I believe, for the first time in history.
Just shockingly underperforming. There's disappointing, and then there's whatever the hell that is. I want to mention this Hofstra team. If you were to ask me which team has the highest ceiling in this conference, I definitely think it's Hofstra. The problem is they don't play up to it, and they have a pretty low basement as well. Losing, I mean, this is a team that nearly beat Arkansas and then did lose to William and Mary.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this Hofstra team. This Hofstra team, though, is a perfect team that could make that run through the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Take the bid out of a four or a five seed or something like that.
Yeah. And then
the
get
fighting
to
fighting Speedy Claxton's.
Yeah.
Griggs, let me stick with you here. Conference USA, I think we almost, at this point, I'm kind of almost ignoring the East Division and focusing in on those top three teams in the West, all of which I'm very high on.
Yeah, Western Kentucky is a very talented team that is doing shockingly little with it.
Let's talk West Division then.
Okay, the West Division. Well, you got a three horse race and it's three thoroughbreds. I don't think either of these three teams, La Tech, UAB, and North Texas, being the ones in question here, will have the resume for an at large bid. Although when you look at those net ratings, UAB in the 40s and then North Texas in the 50s, you got to think that they'd be on the board at least. Well, if they win the division, they'll be on the board. But
La Tech only has the one win in the top two tiers. Santa Clara, UAB has a pair of tier one road wins. I have UAB up twice because I was trying to pull up North Texas, but we are live here, folks.
Yeah, you have to kind of pull back the onion with UAB a little bit because I think that their team is better than what their resume shows. When you look at their losses, San Francisco, well inside our bubble, they have been all year. UAB loses by two, a game they could have won, and it was on a neutral floor. West Virginia, they were in that game. They arguably could have won it. They went to South Carolina and honestly kind of blew it, and I don't know what the hell happened against Rice. But essentially, like the one they had of their four losses, three were winnable games they were in a position to win against good teams, and one they just sort of stubbed their toes badly. This UAB team, if they get this auto bid, is I think they can win a game in the round of 64.
I guess what I was going on the left here, though, Dorman, North Texas, not an awful resume either with those three tier wins in the tier two, the win at Wichita State, win at Western Kentucky. I don't know that an at-large bid is there short of winning out, but it's a very dangerous team when you look at this profile.
I agree with you. Those are three solid tier two wins. Unfortunately, they don't have a tier one, which probably hurt them come committee time. The Buffalo loss
at UAB, at UAB would be a tier one win if they get that win.
No, they need that. If we're playing blind resume with these three in Conference USA, I go with UAB because of the tier one wins. But I'm with you. North Texas is going to be discussed if they can keep this up, but they can't blow opportunities here. They can't lose to the teams outside of the top three in the West. They just can't afford those losses.
Yeah.
And I was discussing conference tournaments earlier. This conference USA is seeing their conference tournament by division, which means that even though there will be four first round buys handed out in this league, La Tech, UAB, North Texas will only get two of those buys.
One
of them's got to play an extra game.
Yeah, well, two of them will get buys, and a third one will get a virtual buy.
You're looking at
a team against the East that they should absolutely roll over, and then possibly stay away from the other two seeds for another round. They could be okay for two rounds.
Well, but again, you are playing every single day, so it makes you a little more tired, especially if you're going into four games in 4 days as opposed to three games in 3 days. And that's where, you know, you've got to, if you're playing, okay, if you're North Texas, you finish in third, you play full internationalist six seed from the East, you've got to be up so big in that game in the second half that you can rest everybody.
Great point.
That's what we're looking at. There's the upcoming schedule in this conference here for the week. Southern Miss did, by the way, beat Southeastern Baptist College tonight. So congrats to
This is another big road game for UAB at La Tech.
Huge game Saturday. It was one of the feature games of the season in this league. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's jump over though to the Horizon League, where Dorman. We saw a big battle for first place this past week here as Oakland and Cleveland State played. And Oakland at Cleveland State did what they had to do Thursday night. I was very impressed with them, and they are now in sole possession of first place.
Great game, played at a real high level. I think these two teams are clearly ahead of the rest in the conference. I had some ideas that Wright State might be up there with them, but not really after I've seen these three teams play. Oakland looks the part, plays the part, is really well coached, gets up and down the floor. Their metrics are good. They were on my ballot that we'll see later towards the bottom, but I like this Oakland team, and I do believe they have a tier one victory on their resume.
I would have had them a lot higher than when we get to our top 10 ratings. I had them rated the highest of any of us because I love this Oakland resume. I love this Oakland team. They should not lose another game. Look at what's left on their schedule, a bunch of sub 250 teams until the Cleveland State game at home on February 26th.
I think they blow through that schedule. Wright State on a little bit of a roll. They've turned it around a little bit, but Oakland is just. They just outclass everybody, I think.
It looks like Oakland's first game with Wright State must have been although there it is. It's February 5th, the game at Wright State. I do see it on the schedule there. Okay. That's probably their toughest game left for Oakland.
Yeah, there is one more thing we have to mention here, Chad, when we go back. This is centenary implications. And while the one thing about IUPUI is that you rarely say this about the Horizon League, there might be enough sub-300 losses in there for them to get it. And another good sign is that they rank 359 out of 358 in the KFP, in the KPI.
Oh yeah, the KPI just to explain that to everybody does consider all games against non D1 teams to be a single opponent. They are worse than that all non D1 teams that played everybody this season.
Essentially, they create a team in the aggregate of not, and it's just a non D1 team, and they're worse than that.
By the way, the Centenary Award we give every year to the worst team in D1. For those who don't know what we're talking about. Greg said the Ivy League here, Princeton now 4-0 after getting wins over Brown and Penn this past week.
Yeah, really looking good. That Brown game was really fun to watch. Princeton, they're just – I kind of think that they're the class of the league. I was big on Brown coming into the year. So, of course, they're 1-4 and probably among the worst in the league. Yale is there reason to believe in them?
I like they were my pick cutting into the season, so I definitely still believe in them. They had a COVID pause to start the conference play, so they have a few makeup games here, but they are 2-0, pair of home wins. I mean, we've got to see a little bit more. Oh no, sorry, the game against Brown was a road game, but they are at Penn this week and then hosting Columbia on Tuesday. Princeton's at Dartmouth. Only a few games in the Ivy League. I think we're going to get the back to backs again starting the following week. It normally starts at the end of January. Generally, the utility games are only against your conference, only against a couple of teams.
Mitch Henderson at Princeton's doing a really good job. Not many people, like David was saying, he was on Brown. I was kind of on Pennsylvania with Coach Donahue, but Mitch Henderson doing a great job with Princeton. They play good ball.
Yeah. They do. I'm there. I'm there right now on Princeton. But I'm not forgetting about Yale is where I'm getting at this. Over in the Metro Atlantic, Iona, we were talking about last week, what a huge week they had. They had to play their rivals, Manhattan. Then they had to play a game on Sunday against Niagara, and then come right back on Tuesday with a road trip to Monmouth. They went 3-0. Now, the game at Monmouth was an incredible game.
It was. Overtime
which was
win.
Almost surprising after Monmouth completely overlooked their opponent Sunday against Marist. They got their asses kicked up in Poughkeepsie against Marist. But and it lost to St. Peter's on Friday as well. So Monmouth, off of any at-large bid consideration, completely.
Any and all. I would agree with that. Iona is still very much there. This was just a Monmouth team that kind of peed down their leg a little bit in those two games. And then when you saw how well they played against Iona, it was hard not to think, had they played like this in the other two games, they would have won both of them easily. But that's the thing. You kind of got to show up every night. There can't be any hiccups. The path you got to take if you're an under the radar team is that you kind of need a big win or two out of conference, and then you just kind of have to hold serve in conference. Iona's been doing that so far. If they continue to blow through the league, I think they are inside the bubble.
I agree. Iona, I'm just pulling the profile up right here if you want to take a quick look at it. They now have the Alabama win. That's the marquee win. They have no bad losses. They now have the win at Monmouth, a good road win. They beat the Liberty team we discussed in the A-Sun at the top of the show. And what they've got left in the schedule, a home game against Monmouth, the road trip to Manhattan is a rivalry game. The road trip to, I guess the road trip to Niagara is, Niagara's half decent this season. I don't even see Marist again here. I think they're done with Marist. They've beaten them twice already. So I don't see anybody that's going to challenge them much. They got to win out, and I think they can win out.
Yeah, and again, do they get another game scheduled for some of the shutdown games against caliber opponent?
They did add that St. Louis game, unfortunately.
Yeah, they did. Do they have another one to add, or was it just that one? I could be. I don't know. I can't keep up.
I'm not entirely certain, but But the upcoming schedule. Oh, I just turned off the upcoming schedule. I'm sorry, Dorman. Let me go back to the upcoming schedule. There, let's stick with Metro Atlantic for one more minute. Iona at Quinnipiac and hosting Siena this week.
Mm-hmm.
All the big games in this conference are the Iona games, because like you said, and when you had the resume up, you said it perfectly, they can't afford a slip up because that resume looks so good with no bad losses. They got to keep that intact because the committee will look very highly upon that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Griggs, Mid-American Conference, Ohio U now 5-0, picked up a nice road win last night at Miami, Ohio. Not an easy place to win, as you like to say.
Yeah, and they won huge. This is an Ohio team, if we can pull them up there for a second, Chad, that is inside my bubble. I don't think, if I'm trying to guess the actual committee, which is what John Titel and Rocco do, neither one of them have them inside their bubbles, so presumably they're not inside the actual committees. I think that the road wins at Akron, at Cleveland State, at Miami are really good. You look at their losses. They did get kind of clobbered by Kentucky and LSU, but I if you watch those games, they were in those games for at least a fair amount of them. I think this is a really good Ohio U team. They've got a huge game coming up against Toledo, albeit it's at home. If they can, I think they even get one more strike. If they can run the table and only drop one more the rest of the way, I think they're good enough to do that. And B, if they do that, I think they deserve an at large.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to see a top tier one or tier two away from home, which means that February 8th game at Toledo. At Toledo, they'd be better off losing this week to Toledo and winning the game at Toledo on February 8th.
You're right.
The road win exchange program that Wichita State and Creighton used to have.
That's where we are. And this is a big week coming up here for these top of the conference games. Again, Friday night, as you mentioned, Toledo at Ohio. Definitely the game we're circling here in this conference.
Oh, it's a great game.
Dorman, MEAC time. I think I always give you the MEAC, don't I?
I love the MEAC.
How about Norfolk State?
Row.
And of course, we talked about it Monday night in the Hoops HD report, that Notre Dame at Howard game that John Tytel was at. Howard was right in there. I think they're going to be dangerous as we get through this into this conference.
Howard showed really well. That was the first time I got a look at him this year. They were well in that game with Notre Dame. They gave Notre Dame everything they could handle, and Notre Dame's playing good ball. So, I give Howard a chance. It's only one game in the conference so far. We keep saying Norfolk because they've won more games than the rest, but they've played more games than the rest. Howard will be heard from, and Coppin State's out to a nice start.
Yeah, well, Norfolk, Howard's one game in conference was their home game against Norfolk, which they lost by, but it was a close game, 3 points. I think when we get to conference tournament, these two teams in the championship game, that's what I'm looking at.
Is there something you'd like to discuss, Chad?
Is there something I would like to discuss?
Yeah, if you go back, there was a game that you had highlighted in blue. I thought we were going to hear as to why that was.
We have a game highlighted in blue. That'll be South Carolina State beat Morris College last night.
This game has a funny story. Yes.
Well. When this game was added, from best we could tell, it was added sometime Monday to the schedule. But South Carolina State didn't tell anybody at all that they were adding this game in. Morris College didn't tell anybody because Morris College's entire athletics website is a team picture of the basketball team and the women's basketball team and a few and what are like two or three other sports.
Yeah, no roster, no stat, nothing.
Thankfully, apparently, from what I'm understanding, is late Tuesday night or sometime this morning, their AD decided to email ESPN with a box score, and suddenly everybody found out that the game had happened. As first ESPN and then a few other sites picked up on it, and I was actually out there tweeting to a few other sites I know, letting them know the game had happened, so we can get this game in the standings. But congrats,
brilliant job by everyone's as sports information directors there. They managed to play a D1 game or a game involving a D1 team that no one knew about.
About 300 people apparently showed up at the game. So,
what were they doing?
They got somebody there.
Yeah,
they were lost. Family. They got lost.
Yeah,
on the way to the library. They got lost.
Yeah. Norfolk State is hosting Coppin State in another battle of undefeated teams within a conference this week. NC Central still hasn't played a conference game yet. Hopefully, they'll be on the floor Saturday at Delaware State. Griggs, Missouri Valley Conference. Loyola's not there. They are now above the radar. The rest of the conference, though, I'm not entirely certain. Missouri State, since we started the show, did pick up a win over Illinois State, Southern Illinois, Indiana State.
There is one team I did want to talk about, and that's that I think Northern Iowa has finally started to kick it into gear.
Did you see what they did tonight?
Till they played tonight.
They lost.
Let's move on.
It was an overtime game. It was a good game. It was overtime, but they lost at Valpo tonight.
Yeah, now that I see, they lost it. Valpo. Oh my goodness.
Drake right. Still 4-1 in conference. Drake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tonight too, didn't they?
Let's get an update on Drake. Drake, as we record this, is about to go final. They're losing at home to Bradley.
There we go. And so this conference. Unbelievable. Yeah. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, this might be a rare case where an under-the-radar conference does not get an under-the-radar team into the field.
Missouri State, who I think still has some talent also, is at Loyola on Saturday. That's probably the game to circle in this league here.
Yeah. I thought one of these teams, once they got to conference play, because I had so much hype and hope for them out of conference with all those opportunities, someone was going to take their opportunity and run with it in the conference in the Missouri Valley, and they've all fallen flat on their face again in conference. So unless someone is going to knock off Loyola in the conference tournament, this conference is in trouble.
And that game has gone final, by the way. Drake did lose. just as we've been discussing this, Griggs, The Wagner Seahawks in the Northeast Conference pick up a win against SFBK, blow out Fairleigh Dickinson. And I guess I want to take a quick second here. I was very disappointed in you, Griggs, on Monday. You went to start our Hoops HD report early because there were no good games on in the 7 o'clock hour. I looked at the schedule and saw three NEC games in the 7 o'clock hour, and I yelled at you for it. I got to take it back because there were three blowouts. In fact, Monday was just not a good day in the NEC. Yeah. Every game was a blowout.
Yeah, you were yelling very loud, too. It was very, very upsetting. Normally a great conference, no matter who's playing who. Yeah, kind of just a snoozer on Monday night. I kind of thought Wagner was, I don't want to say a mirage because they're certainly really good, but I didn't think that they were as good as they appeared because it felt like they were winning a lot of close games against teams that are not good. Monday night, their game against Fairleigh Dickinson did not fall under the category of close.
No. And this Wagner team, Dorman, I'm very impressed with them. Obviously, Bryant is right there as well at 5-1 in conference. Wagner, a couple road games at LIU and at Merrimack this week.
This conference is always tough on the road. A lot of schools, a lot of rivalries, schools that are close in miles. And Wagner will have some tough games here and there, but I think they are the class of this conference, and Bryant will fall back a little. I really like the way this Wagner team plays.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
And when you look at all of the teams in New York City, it's fun to think that, like, there could be three or four teams that get in, and St. John's is – none of them are from power conferences.
The OVC, Dorman, let me stick with you. We had round one of the big series on Saturday. Murray State went to Belmont. We thought it was going to be a great game. And honestly, it was not – at all.
Murray State pulled the Belmont, hit every shot they took. They were on fire and they played defense and they didn't give Belmont any second chances. I was really impressed with this Murray State team. Having said that, Belmont has a real tough game tomorrow night. They're going to Morehead State if they want to get back, back to the top of this conference and in consideration. They better win tomorrow night in Morehead State because Morehead State is always a rough trip for them.
Yeah, Morehead State, what are they in the net? Hovering around 100, not a bad team.
At 116, yeah.
Yeah, unbeaten at home. So how much, even though they're – does the committee notice that they're supposed to? We certainly point it out to them every time that happens. Belmont gets that win. Does the committee not give them a little bit of credit for that?
I think you do get credit because when you look at where it's going to be on the team sheet, a win at Morehead State at 116, that will be a tier two win.
Yeah.
So, I think they will get credit for that.
David, the committee doesn't miss any of our shows.
No, they don't. Well, sometimes I don't think they do.
Absolutely. But let's take a look here. That's the big game again. It's a battle of two teams that are technically undefeated in their conference. Although Belmont, we still think is the second best team, not Morehead State at this point in time. As far as Murray, they're going to be hosting Eastern Illinois and Tennessee Tech. Just don't fall asleep during those games. It's all I got to tell Murray. You got to win these games.
Yeah.
UT Martin also on Saturday. They got three games this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and they should win all three of those. Murray State, just, God, they're good.
Griggs, Patriot League. We've got Colgate at 3-1 and then four teams at 5-2.
How about that? Like, the top five teams are all neck and neck, and the bottom five teams are nowhere near them. Kind of shaving up to be kind of fun. It's kind of fun seeing Army at 5-2. I didn't think they would be good at all. Lehigh, who I really liked along with Colgate, having a good year after a horrible out of conference run. And Navy, who had some big wins out of conference, at least brand name wins against Virginia, hanging in there too. And this is a league that does it right. It's campus sites, which means a lot of these games have stakes and there are storylines trying to get that home court advantage for the conference tournament.
Home court, and the way it is, if these standings hold close to this, and it's still a long way to go, at least try to at least get the 2 seed so you get a semifinal, or getting the 3 and the 4 seed over the 5 so you get a quarterfinal at home. So there's a lot to be played for standings, not only for number one overall. Right now, that is Colgate, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, remember when Bucknell got a 9 seed? I don't think that's going to happen this year.
It's great to see Army and Navy competing so well, not only basketball. In the conference, but all year. And basketball, it's fun. Army, Navy, great. Jimmy Allen doing a great job as the head coach there at Army.
Well, you want to talk again. Big games coming up this week. There it is, Saturday, circling Army at Navy, round one. One of the best rivalries out there. Absolutely.
It really is.
They're both good. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Griggs, over in the SoCon, Chattanooga, who had suffered that loss at Western Carolina last week, did bounce back with a win over Furman. I think that's the only game that they played over the course of the past week. But the Mocs are sitting there 4-1, you know, and Furman is in second place. So it was a decent, it was a solid win at least.
Yeah, it definitely was. And after a little bit of a setback, net's still really high. I don't know if they have the profile minus winning out to get inside the bubble, but a really good team. You know, their losses, they only have 4 of them. Murray and Belmont were 2.
But the Charleston and the Western Carolina losses.
Well, the Western Carolina one in particular.
Now, 4 of their next 5, and actually go a little bit further here, 7 of their next 10 games are on the road for the Mocs.
Yeah, and it's going to
they
get
prove
tough.
That they already proved they have trouble on the road at Western Carolina.
They have all won 6 road games, though, but...
Let's see what happens here, but I think you're right. I think there is an outside shot for an at-large bid, but it pretty much involves not losing another game until the conference tournament championship game. I don't think the Chattanooga team is that good, especially in a very... Every road trip in the SoCon is tough most seasons.
Yeah.
This week's schedule in the SoCon, Nuga is at Greensboro and hosting Wofford. Oh, and at VMI also in between there. So these are all fun games, though. I mean,
One thing Mercer might be heard from. Mercer might be heard from before this is all over.
Mercer, off to a good start in conference play.
Yeah. Wofford, East Tennessee State, even VMI, an impressive 3-3 early on in the season. Yes, there's a lot of teams that look at this conference.
Sanford, who was a team we were big on heading into conference play, I'm no longer big on them.
Dorman, the Southland Conference, where Nicholls State here, our preseason favorite. Begins conference regular season play with a loss at New Orleans. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I think it's Corpus Christi's conference at this point.
It looks like it. Nicholls State actually showed well in the preseason conference tournament, had played well, won a couple games there, and then they came out and lost to New Orleans. Obviously one game in only for everyone, a lot to be played, but if I had to take someone, I agree. Corpus Christi, it looks stronger than the rest.
Yeah, Houston Baptist off to a pathetically bad start without a D1 win. They will have their next chance. They will have a big shot, actually, at Incarnate Word coming up tomorrow night to maybe get their first D1 win at Battle of the Bottom. But Corpus Christi hosting McNeese and Houston Baptist this week is their games.
Yeah.
Griggs, why don't we talk a little SWAC?
Emphasis on a little here. The teams I still like in this league are Southern. I'm kind of disappointed in Texas Southern. I thought that it would be a 2-horse race with them being one of the horses, not shown it at all so far, but Southern holding strong.
Well, you know, Texas Southern was not that great last season in the regular season, won the conference tournament. So always dangerous when we get to March for the Tigers. Southern, so somewhat surprising loss at Grambling over the weekend, but they think they did bounce back to get a win on Monday, or were they the team that was off Monday? They were off on Monday, sorry. So they've got to find a way to get back on the winning side here. Prairie View, another team I want to keep an eye on here. They only won 2 games, but they've been the last 2 games that they have played. Now that they're finally fully healthy, they were missing their best player. So keep an eye on Prairie View as well as we start moving forward here. Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule here. Southern, who we just discussed, is going to be hosting Pine Bluff and Mississippi Valley. Texas Southern hosting Alabama A&M and Alabama State. And I don't know what else to say. So, Dorman, how about the Summit League?
South Dakota State. I really like this team. I think they can do some damage in March against the big boys. This team is really, they play both sides of the court really well. They're good offensively. They work the ball. They get good shots, and defensively, they're tough. They're physical. They're going to be in your face. I think South Dakota will be the one seed going into this tournament and their conference tournament to win.
They lost to Idaho, so they have no shot at that large, but that's an automatic disqualifier.
Automatic disqualifier. Another team we got to talk about is a team that on the court is definitely there. Their profile is not, but they're still starting to show it. This was a team that was in the Sweet 16 and was a missed shot away from going to the Elite Eight. Oral Roberts finally starting to play up to their season. It took them until January, but they did get there.
Hey, they got there in time for conference play. They got there. That's what matters in these leagues a lot.
It is. And I agree with David about South Dakota State, but if anyone's going to knock them off, it's Oral Roberts. And this is a dangerous, this is a live wire Oral Roberts team when they're firing on all cylinders. They were not in November and December. I think they are now.
South Dakota State road trips to St. Thomas and Western Illinois, who is a dangerous game as well. They were a team we were discussing during non-conference play. Oral Roberts hosting both North Dakota schools this week. So those are the games to watch in this league. I think those are the two teams, though. I don't know that anyone else is going to get up there.
Unless
Western Illinois turns it back on again somehow.
Yeah.
I was hopeful Western Illinois, this was going to be their year, but it doesn't look so great as of late. But the non-conference was solid.
In conference chaos, known as the Sun Belt, we've got – last week we talked about Troy. Then Rocco's jumped in and told us that he was shutting the program down for COVID protocols. So we didn't even get to see them play this week. Dorman, you anything you want to say about this league, I'm almost at the point of saying let's just skip this league for 2 or 3 weeks until it figures itself out. You know,
I'll be quick. I've been on Troy all year. I still like Troy's team if they can get healthy and doesn't take them a lot to get back to normal and up to speed. I think Troy is the best team in the conference, but we got a lot of games to be played.
And to show you perfectly what this conference does. Just a couple weeks ago, we were hyping this Louisiana team, and I was really liking them. What do? They go and they lose at Texas Arlington and at Texas State this week. That's what this conference does. Did it last
week
year,
after week
did it
after
2 years
week.
Ago. It's doing it again. As soon as you like a team, that team goes 0-2 that week.
Yeah, and Georgia State might run away with the whole thing.
And they're 0-2 right now. But you're right, they might. South Alabama down there in eighth place. You know, they've got one of the better nets in the conference. They're 12-5
almost
overall.
Beat Alabama, but can't beat Sun Belt teams.
Not necessarily Charlie sort of Troy's back on the court beginning tomorrow night, but if they are, they're at Monroe and at Louisiana this week. I think they might be back. I think I think they are back.
I thought I saw that they were.
One last regular conference here, at least in the WAC, and this is a conference that definitely merits a few minutes of talk. If they might have been our feature conference, but for the fact that we already featured them once this season, but New Mexico State, Grand Canyon, and even Seattle here all undefeated. Griggs,
you all are a little bit bigger on Seattle than I am. I'm not. I think they've been eating the bottom of the league, whereas Grand Canyon's been eating all kinds of cupcakes. I'm a believer in the Aztecs. I like this New Mexico State team. I always like this New Mexico State team, but they're always really good, and they are again.
Yeah, this New Mexico State team, let me pull them up here, and let me pull up the Lopes as well, Dorman, because I think that this team deserves a lot of attention here, because sitting
play
here
somebody
at 5-0 as well, they've got, it's not coming up until January 29th, but they'll get their first New Mexico State game then. Then they followed it up with Seattle. So
I'm with you, Chad.
I think it's San Francisco.
Yes, they did. That was what I was going to point out. So they do have a tier one win, and they do have a win against a tournament team. Bryce Drew can coach. He's been in the tournament before. He knows what's going on. I thought New Mexico State was going to run away with this conference and tournament, but I'm wrong. Grand Canyon, I think, is here for the long haul.
Do you think they can stay with them? This is my thing about New Mexico State. I mean, they kind of just, you know, again, crap the bed at home against New Mexico. It is a big rival.
I tell you, though, they played twice and they won at New Mexico.
They won at New Mexico. They really should have swept them. New Mexico, I don't want to say that they're awful, but they're not good. If you're putting teams in into the categories of good and bad, they're not as good as New Mexico State. But they did get blown out at Utah State. But this is a team that beat Davidson, went to Wazoo and won, and that's harder to do than what you may realize. The one thing about Grand Canyon, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, they have all those home wins against bad teams out of conference. Get out and play, guys.
Yeah, it looks kind of
good. And the one thing that – I'm sorry, Chad. The one thing with the New Mexico State game that might get a little – with the New Mexico game, that one loss, I believe the lights went out in the building for 20 minutes. It was a weird situation.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
They might not get totally nailed for that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Grand Canyon's non-conference schedule is very similar to Gonzaga's. You know, they played all the sub 300 teams, and Gonzaga's talked about them for a one seed. So,
yeah.
I don't think that's the way to do it. Well, I don't think that's the way to do it for Gonzaga, but if you're an under the radar team, you've got to play. If you want to get inside the bubble, which I realize there aren't, but maybe, you know, 15, 20 teams out of the 260 that you can say that have a regular shot at doing that. But Grand Canyon is in that group and they need to schedule better than that.
I do need to take a moment here to give yet another shout out to the Chicago State Cougars. Last week we were talking about how they picked up their first conference win in 4 years when they beat Cal Baptist at home. This week, they picked up their first road conference win in over 5 years when they went to Lamar for a 67-56 win over what's a really bad Lamar team, in all honesty.
Yeah, but can this team finish in the top 300? And if they do, when was the last time they did that?
They're 328 right now, so the top 300 would be a stretch, in all honesty.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to figure, you move up pretty quickly. I mean, they string together a couple more wins.
New Mexico State, an interesting road test coming up on Saturday.
That is a
Stephen
tough
F.
one.
Austin, after the game at Sam Houston, which is kind of tough as well, Thursday night. The Lopes playing the same schedule. They're travel partners, so they're playing at SFA and at Sam Houston as well. Seattle at Abilene, who's kind of fallen off the cliff a bit, might be come back, and then at Tarleton. So these are all the games to kind of circle here. Where's Chicago State this week? Are they even on there? I don't even see them on there. They must be taking the.
Yeah, they've already left the conference.
I guess. Well, we got a fictional conference to check in on. We already checked in the Beehive, but we got to double check it on the front range standings with Colorado, who are ready to throw out of the conference at the moment. But we did not get any front range games in this past week. So Colorado State still leading the way at 2-0 in league play.
And again, this with a potential auto bid with Colorado State.
Huge, huge game coming up Saturday. Ooh. Colorado State's at Air Force in a front range game.
Yes. And a conference game there.
Conference game. So pay attention to that one. I guess on that note, let's go to top 10 list. Here's our top 10 list for January 19th. Three of us voted. We've got a handful of honorable mentions. So let's start with those. These are teams that did not quite make the top 10. Vermont.
Oh, good to see North Carolina make the list.
Yeah. Yes. Congratulations to the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Tar Heels.
All right. Yeah.
Yes. Grand Canyon, Vermont. I'm sorry. Grand Canyon, Vermont, Wagner, Chattanooga all missing out, as well as North Carolina. Definitely an under the radar program there.
Yeah. If they were eligible for the top 10, I wouldn't have voted them.
You are the one that voted them on the top 10, Griggs.
Yeah, but not seriously.
It's on the screen.
Yeah, I just did that to get them on the screen.
Number 10, North Texas out of Conference USA. That third team out of Conference USA.
Yeah.
That's a good sign for CUSA in this poll.
Yeah,
South
it
Dakota
is.
State coming in at number 9. Number 8, like La Tech, also from Conference USA.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland,
who you said you really like. That's about where I had them, right there, I think.
I had 9.
Yeah. I'm about third, so that's how they ended up 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number six, there we go with the rest of Conference USA, UAB. Yeah. So the bottom half is all Conference USA, pretty much.
Yeah.
Two-way tie for fourth place here between Belmont, off of the loss, still up there, and New Mexico State
climbing the pole there. Yeah.
Our top three, shouldn't be much of a surprise who these three teams are. Ohio U.
Ohio, like to see them that high.
Iona.
Can we have a drum? No drum roll, Chad?
And here we go, drum roll for number one.
Thank you.
Which is Murray State.
And Griggs ruined it already, but yes, it is Murray State is number one in the poll. Loyola Chicago, not in the poll. Why? They're on the radar now.
Yeah, they're on the radar. North Carolina, they took North Carolina's spot. Whenever one goes up, we got to bring one down. We brought down North Carolina.
North Carolina is definitely not in the top 25 in either poll. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I guess let me pull this down here. Run through each of you for their final thoughts. Dorman, let me start with you.
Since the committee always listens to us, or that's what David always tells me, they need to really pay attention to what the schools and the teams are that we went through tonight. I'll just run through some of them. In the Ohio Valley, the loser of Murray State and Belmont. In the MAC, M-A-A-C, Iona. In the MAC, Ohio. In the WAC, New Mexico State. If these teams get knocked off in their conference tournaments, they still deserve to be in the tournament. I do not want to hear the names like Notre Dame, Louisville, North Carolina, Virginia, Northwestern, Michigan. These teams are average at best in their conference. They get opportunities once a week. These other teams, we went through some of their resumes. They don't have bad losses. That shows to me they're a very good team. They go on the road and they win with the bullets on their
bullseye.
Thank you, David. With the bullseye on their back, because they got the bullseye always on, and they're the leader in the conference. Everyone tries to knock them off. All they do is run through these conferences. Committee, please pay attention. These schools are better than the Power Boys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I would throw in those Conference USA teams there also, especially if one of them can pull away from the other two. Those three that we looked at, but Griggs.
I was gonna say something similar, but he said it a lot more emphatically than I did. But like the committee, there are members that do follow us, and I think that there are members that do watch and read. And one of the things you have to ask yourself is two questions: how hard was it to win the games that you won and post the record that you did? And secondly, is what kind of chances did you have? These are teams that are getting quality wins and putting together good resumes and winning games that are hard to win, despite having much, much, much fewer chances to do it in conference play. It's not, they don't have those built-in opportunities that a North Carolina has. So just because it's like, well, they didn't win as many tier one games, they didn't have as many chances. And the games they did win, it's hard to go on the road. It's hard to go to Moorhead and win. It's hard to go to Siena and win. It's hard to go to those places and win when those teams – like, look at what those teams do at home. So I'm sort of with David on this one. Like,
one of these days, Griggs, I got to take issue with you on this statement that you love to make this statement. Maybe this is our time to do it. Let's just take 2 minutes to do it. You make this statement every year about this team wanted a place where it's hard to win. Well, you know what? Any team that's a good team, it is hard to win at their place. So I would argue any team about the top 150 of their net is a good road win to beat them. And that's why it is a tier one and tier two win.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to establish that any road, honestly, any road win at all is a good road win.
A good win, in my opinion, it is. Yeah. Okay. And like when you go out and win 9-10 road games, like some of these under the radar schools do, you deserve more credit for it.
Well, there's 358 teams in D1. I would say there's maybe 100 to 125 that are not tough to win at.
Yeah, probably so. That's probably a fair thing.
All right. But anyhow, I do agree with
you. Why do you take issue? That's furthering my point, Chad.
Because I think that the net already reflects. The team sheet already reflects it with the tiers. But anyhow, on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll have that fight a little bit more as we go into especially tomorrow night. We'll be doing our bracket rundown show. Whatever Greg says, I will not be agreeing with him. And you should not listen to him. He still thinks that Florida is a sixth seed in the tournament, I think, or something ridiculous like
that. It was
that.
A nine. But
he did like Marquette.
Yeah.
He did. Marquette won. He went to Villanova and got a win.
Yeah.
He liked Iowa. They're losing at Rutgers. on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody. He's David Griggs. He's Dave Dorman. I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again real soon. And I cannot find the button to stop this thing. So, oh, there it is.
Oh, what a great ending. Another just top-notch professional.